Hi, welcome to the podcast. I am Joe Posnanski, and with me is Michael Shore. Michael, welcome.
Joe, thanks for having me.
You are very welcome. Very welcome. You know, one thing I've noticed about this week in sports, I don't know if you've noticed this, nothing happened. Nothing happened in the last week of sports. Isn't that weird? Really strange.
It's the first time in history for the first week that's been the situation that nothing happened.
Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing of value. No news was made. I mean, it's just a really quiet week. Really strange. Really strange.
Utterly forgettable and uninteresting. Yeah.
Uninteresting. Exactly. I think. We definitely never bring rarely bring politics into this show, and I don't want to do that now. But would you not say that with everything that went on with the protests, with the FBI basically destroying college basketball, with all this other stuff? I mean, it feels like politics is like, I mean, it's not just that politics is infused into sports; it's that sports is now like politics in that, like, if you go to sleep and you wake up, something insane has happened while you were sleeping. I mean, there's...
It certainly feels that way, yeah. It feels like now when you wake up, you have two questions. One of them is, what did the president do? And the second one is, what did sports do? And my favorite, again, not wanting to, like, derail this whole thing right before we get started here, but my favorite thing that happened in the whole mess was, I think today or yesterday, I don't know, every day feels like an eternity now, but John Elway came out and said that his intention is to take the politics out of football. That's what he wants to do. And like 3 months ago or whatever it was, he wrote a note on Denver Broncos stationery personally endorsing Neil Gorsuch to be a Supreme Court judge. And now he's like, well, we got to take the politics out of sports. But the interesting thing to me is, regardless of where you stand on any of these issues, it is taking the politics out of sports is like saying, like, I'm going to take the cinnamon out of this applesauce that I mix it into. Like, there's no, it's impossible to do that now. It is part and parcel of sports that, like, everything is politics at some level, right? Like, at this moment. But I just love the idea that, like, well, we can compartmentalize and keep sports in one drawer and politics in another drawer. Forget it. That genie's not getting back in that bottle, man.
Well, and I would take it another step. I think even when you're not bringing politics in and you're just making sort of a casual comment, but that is somehow tangentially related to politics. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I guess, Paul Ryan tweeted out something. You know, Paul Ryan's trying to, you know, redo the whole tax code and he wants to make it simple, which is fine. I'm not discussing politics, but to make the point, he took a picture of a Polaroid camera from that was supposed to be from 1986. It actually wasn't, but it was supposed to be from 1986, and he put a Canon camera from 2017, and he put those pictures next to each other, and his tagline was, cameras have changed since 1986. Why hasn't the tax code changed?
Right. Since 1986? That's right. That's what he did. Yes. Correct.
Yeah. He did that. Okay. Cameras. That's literally the choice he made. In the vast chasm of things that are different in 2017,
okay, well, listen, just if you want to count first of all, politicians on both sides of the aisle, in my opinion, are uniquely bad at analogies.
Amazing.
They're all so bad. Now, you have, in the past, you have offered your services publicly.
I have.
As a consultant to any politician across both aisles. It doesn't matter. You're not taking a partisan stance here. Either party, you've offered your services as a consultant for politicians who want to engage with audiences over sports. For example, if a politician wants to go, if a person running for president were to go, let's say the Indians win the World Series, right? And some politician, and there were a presidential election happening this year, which obviously there isn't, and politician were going to a rally in Ohio and wanted to do a little thing at the beginning where they put on an Indians hat and said something simple to try to get some cheap applause from the crowd in Ohio. You have offered yourself your services as a consultant to say, here's what you should say, here's what you shouldn't say, here's how you can screw this up, here's how you should not screw this up. And I think that it's a thing that would be very valuable. You could make a lot of money, I think. At least every 2 or 4 years, you could make a lot of money. But I would like, as a writer, I would like to offer my services to all politicians, again, of either party, as an analogy consultant. Because if I were Paul Ryan's analogy consultant, I would say, okay, he showed me that thing that he wants to tweet out about, here's what cameras were in 86 and here's what cameras are now. I would have said to him, hey, bud, great job. Couple notes. Number one, no one owns a camera anymore. Your camera is your phone. So if you're going to do this, you can't show a picture of a 2017 SLR, because that is as foreign and alien an object to the majority of the people on Earth as the old Polaroid is now,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
That's the first thing. The second thing is, hey, bud, how about computers? why don't we go with computers, a thing that people actually use all the time, and which, if you could compare them from 1986 until now, you would see a massive difference. And also, by the way, a number of hipsters in the Brooklyn and East LA and Chicago neighborhoods in Austin, Texas, are currently using Polaroid cameras
exactly
all the time to take pictures, because it's a fun retro thing to do. So this is utterly gonna, this is wrong in 1,000 directions, and all you have to do is go with the first and most obvious thing, which is computers, and then everything will be fine, and then you'll make your point.
I really think that you could make every bit as much, if not more, money as an analogy consultant to people, because people are horrible. But my point is, and I don't know, I mean, I obviously don't know Paul Ryan. Maybe Paul Ryan does all of his own tweeting and doesn't let other people get involved. But you would think this would have crossed one eye that would have looked at it and said, cameras? Nobody owns a camera. What is the thought process here? And by the way, not for nothing, and again, not political, just discussing the analogy, he took a picture of a current Polaroid camera.
That's right.
The camera that they used is from 1986. It's an actual 2017 Polaroid camera.
Correct.
It was a disaster on a lot of levels. And I think we should team up. Just, we will consult you on just non-political things.
Sports and analogies. That's what we'll call it, the Sports and Analogy Center for progressive American politics or whatever. And it's nonpartisan. It's like the CBO, right?
That's right.
It's nonpartisan. We are just trying to help you make your point better than you were going to do it, because you are not, because whoever you are, Democrat, Republican, Independent, you are not good at it. You are all bad at it. No one is good at it. I've never seen someone who's good. Well, Obama was actually pretty good, because Obama was an avid basketball fan. So he didn't do it that much. There's guys who are, Michael Bloomberg was a Red Sox fan.
Right.
And he ran for mayor of New York. And there was a lot of a strife surrounding the fact that he was a Red Sox fan. And he actually, I think, almost uniquely in the history of politics, navigated it fairly well. If he had just come out and said, go Yankees, I think there would have been a lot of people who would have been like, "That's, you're phony, you're full of
right,
it. You're
right.
We all know you're a Red Sox fan." But also, if he had come out and said "Screw the Yankees, I'm a Red Sox fan," that also would have been bad. And he was he pretty deftly kind of navigated those waters. Other people, Chris Christie, for example, have not so deftly navigated those waters, where he shows up in Jerry Jones's box. He's the mayor of New Jersey, where the Giants play, and he's in Jerry Jones's box celebrating a cowboy touchdown like a child, frankly. And it's do you not? Maybe he doesn't care. I mean, I guess these guys at some level, they don't care.
Maybe Chris Christie had
bigger problems.
Well, true. Yeah. But your point is still right. And again, it not political. We don't care what the ideas are specifically. We're just here to help you not Ted Cruz yourself, basically, right? I mean, we just don't want you to, what did he call it? The hoop basket, the ring of hoops,
whatever. That was the worst one. That was the worst one of the 2016 cycle, What was that? We should look it up.
Something about
the basketball ring. Yeah, wasn't it about the basketball ring?
It was. not Not great. All right. We're done with all that. We have to go to our Tommy Pham update.
It's the Tommy Pham update.
The Tommy Pham update is brought to you by us, really. I mean, we're just... You know, I'm really, there are a lot of people that have jumped, and we did not see this coming because we didn't really hardly know who Tommy Pham was when we named him our favorite podcast player. A lot of people on the Tommy Pham bandwagon now, aren't there?
I'm telling you, we are trendsetters here. the people have jumped on. This is a very, it's a great bandwagon, by the way. As the originators of the Tommy Pham we've wholeheartedly, this is not an exclusive club.
Oh, everybody, no, we want more. We want everybody, right?
Everybody hop on board for the, all aboard the Tommy Pham Express. We are hardcore famnas, and we welcome everyone's on this wonderful journey. The update as of going into play tonight. Now, they're playing the Cubs right now, and they're losing, and I don't think Pham is a hit in this game. He got drilled yesterday in the ribs, and... He played in the game, so that's good news. But as of today, there's four games left in the season, right? Or three, maybe, even for the Cardinals. He's at 309, 411, 528. He's gonna do it, man.
I can taste it.
He's basically like, he's probably gonna get one day off, maybe, which means he's basically Ted Williams hitting 400 at the end of the season. Now, if he wants to, he can just sit and achieve, but he's not going to, because that's not what Tommy Pham does.
That's not what he's about. That's not what he's about.
So he's going to, I believe, I don't want to jinx it, but I believe he's going to get his 300, 400, 500 season. There's a couple marginal things that I'm also interested in. For example, he has 23 homers and 23 stolen bases. He's not going to obviously get to 30-30, barring some insane explosion in the last four games, but he could be a 25-25 guy, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
that could happen.
Yes.
He also has 92 runs scored. It's not totally out of the realm of possibility that he gets to 100 runs. And this is a guy who max is going to have played in 130 games this year, which is insane. So that's pretty good. But the thing that we the most care about is, for obvious reasons, because it's the classic baseball thing. It's probably the most famous baseball thing you can go for is the 300, 400, 500 season.
That's right.
And I believe after a recent hot streak, and he had a series against the Reds where he just went bananas.
He went crazy.
Had a couple doubles. He was 4-6 for 14, scored four runs. He had two doubles. He lifted his average from 303 at the beginning of the Cubs series to, by the end of the Cincinnati series, he's a 311. That really kind of did it. Once he got to that stratosphere. So it's going to happen, man. He's going to have his 300, 400, 500 year. It's very exciting.
It is really exciting. It's very, very exciting. We called this a long time ago. And by the way, I owe you sort of, I wouldn't call it an apology because I wouldn't say I was fully down on you for this, but I did. There was a slight tone of mockery that I showed you when you mentioned that in addition to the 300, 400, 500 thing that we've been following, he also was going to have the very famous 20 double, 20 homer, 20 stolen base year.
Yeah, 2020.
Somebody wrote that. That's actually was a thing. Like,
really?
Somebody wrote it and like quoted him saying like, yeah, that means a lot to me or something like that. So I'm giving it to you. I totally was like, that's not a thing. 20 doubles, that doesn't even add anything to the conversation. But apparently
it does.
Apparently
yeah.
it does.
So. Yeah. Well, look, we're superstitious enough in our baseball fandom and famnadom.
Sure.
We are not going to call this. We're not calling it right now.
No.
They could have some crazy extra inning game that goes to the 18th inning. He goes 0-11, and suddenly that average dips below 300. But it's looking really strong. We're looking like we're gonna get there. We're gonna cross the finish line.
I think in next week's podcast, we're popping some champagne. That's what I'm just saying it's on ice. I'm not opening it, but I think we're popping some champagne next week. By the way, if there's an 18-inning game and he goes for 0-11 and it drops him below 300, I'm going to immediately call for Mike Matheny's firing. Immediately. like that minute.
For not getting him out of the
game. Get him out of the game. I mean, this 300, 400, 500 thing is on the line here. So... very exciting with Tommy Pham, a really, really cool story and a great year for the Famster. Another.
The Famster. The Famster. Nothing no one has ever called him.
Well, nobody's ever called themselves Famns until we started
enough.
It, right?
Fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, good
call. All right, so another regular, you know, sort of feature of the podcast is our weekly Cleveland Browns update.
Let's check in on the Cleveland Browns. How are they doing?
They're terrible. They're terrible. They're really... You know, came out of week one with a little bit of hope, a little bit of excitement. And I will say, as that little tiny bit of hope lingers, we're still waiting for Myles Garrett to get into the game. Myles Garrett was the first
That's
pick
right.
for the Browns. There is a chance he's going to play this weekend against Cincinnati. I think at this point he's looking at a like limited play for this weekend, which is exciting. And we'll see. You know, one guy can make a huge difference, a huge impact. You know, if he goes after the quarterback and has a sack or two, and you know, everybody sort of feeds off of that, that could change the dynamic. But until then, they're horrendous. They're really bad.
So I think I've mentioned before, I'm sort of boycotting the NFL.
Yes.
I gave up my NFL package. I don't watch the games anymore. I don't watch the local games. I'm not watching the seven teams in LA now? There's seven teams.
There are seven, right.
Yeah.
Right. And just as many fans.
And four and also there's seven LA teams now, and four of them apparently are gonna be sent back to where they came from. I read that today or yesterday. But my Browns fandom, it's a little weird because my newfound Browns fandom comes purely from the written word of reporters reporting on games after they're over.
Sure.
So I was convinced this was the week they were going to win,
right,
because they're playing the Colts, and the Colts are the only franchise more moribund possibly than the Browns, or at least they're in the discussion for
franchises. And without Andrew Luck, right?
And no Andrew Luck, that's right. So I was disappointed to read that they lost. I was further disappointed to read that they sort of mounted a big comeback and then came up short. Although I guess that is a good harbinger of the future, possibly.
Right.
But what's interesting about the being a Browns fan is how quickly I have become accustomed to, like, oh yeah, of course they didn't win. Like, it's whatever it is, week three of
three,
me being
it's
a Browns
three weeks,
fan.
Right.
And I was like, oh, but they were playing the Colts today, I bet they won. And then I saw the score. I was like, oh no, of course they didn't win. Well, how could they win? It's impossible for them to win. They're the Browns. And that makes me feel sad, because now when I think about you and other long suffering Browns fans, I think about how many weeks and years in a row that has essentially been true. I mean, all of them.
Yeah. All of them since they came back, basically. I mean, there have been a couple of very short bright spots. Well, here's the thing, and we talked about this last week off the air. We didn't talk about this on the air, but I'm going to mention it now. It's something I'm going to write about in this week's Browns diary. So I am going to watch a grand total of 16 football games this year.
Okay.
Period. College, pro, high school, anything. They will be the 16 Browns games. And if I miss a Browns game, then it'll be 15 games. I'm not going to make it up with something else. So I'm literally not watching another game. Now, I have numerous reasons why I'm doing this. But that's it. I'm going to watch the Browns because it's a connection to my childhood. So I have not watched another game other than the Browns. And this has led me to two sort of differing thoughts. One is, if all you do is watch the Browns, you really think football's terrible, right? I mean, you really think, wow, that sport is really, really bad. But the second thing about watching the Browns only and not watching a single other minute of another game, at least so far this year, and I don't plan on it, I don't miss it. I don't miss it. It's weird. I mean, I was such a big football fan, and lots of reasons that are not important. I don't care. I mean, and I don't know if that's I don't know. I mean, other people, it almost surprises me now when I see other people as passionate about football as I used to be. And I'm like, oh, wow, there's still a lot of huge, huge college football and NFL fans, still the biggest sport in the country. But I swear, I don't. I mean, do you? You've given up basically watching it.
I gotta say, I'm kind of with you. There are obviously, like, last week, the NFL tested my resolve because I was getting texts and I was seeing things on Twitter that were basically saying this is the greatest 20-minute stretch of football in the history of the NFL.
And we're talking about the Patriots.
And then the Patriots game, the Lions, Falcons yes. game. you know, a lot of them sort of came down to the wire, very exciting, blah, blah, blah. But I was kind of, I then like watched, when I watched like SportsCenter that night or something, I saw the highlights, my reaction was like, ooh, wow, that's exciting. But I'll tell you what I don't miss. I don't miss 3 hours of time where you're slogging through those like three and out punt commercial. I don't miss the injuries. Like I saw a couple, you know, in the highlights, you always see like, here's a scary moment from this game where this guy got injured or whatever. And I really don't miss seeing those guys get beat up like that and carted off the field. I don't miss reading afterwards that they, you know, so-and-so's season is over, so-and-so's career is over. That's the stuff that became the tonnage issue to me, was just like, they're just giving up their lives and bodies for this game. And it feels wrong. It started to feel wrong to me to watch it. Now, that being said, again, I'm a Browns fan. I committed to this. So I'm in this. I'm looking at their schedule. I don't want to drag the conversation down here, but I'm looking at their schedule. Now, you tell me, if you're going to watch the next 13 Browns games,
sure.
You tell me where the wins can come, okay? Now, granted, they've looked better. Their defense has looked better. They haven't played with Myles Garrett yet, their number one pick. DeShone Kizer seems like he does some things well and some things badly. Who knows? But you tell me where the wins are going to come from, okay? So they're home against the Bengals. Now, that's a possible win. Let's talk about possible wins, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That is a possible win, unquestionably.
Possible win. We're going to count the possible wins for the Cleveland Browns.
Possible wins.
Home, October 1st, home against the Bengals. Next week, home against the Jets. There's a possible win.
Definite possible win. I would expect them to win one of those two games.
That's right. And the week after that, at the Texans. Now, the Texans just played the Patriots very tough, but that they always do, really. Bill O'Brien plays them tough. So that's less likely because they're away, but that's a possible win, right?
No, I think it's a loss. I think Texans are a loss. Okay. I think all of the road games are probably losses, but
fair
particularly.
Enough. Okay, so we're saying Bengals and Jets at home. Those are two possible wins. We'll concede the Texans. They're home against the Titans the next week. The Titans look real good. That's a loss.
Yeah,
that's they're in awesome. England against the Vikings. That seems like a loss. They're in England. What are the Browns going to do in England, for God's sake?
By the way, why would you inflict the Browns and frankly the Vikings on that country? what would the thought process be? You know what? That's probably a loss. I mean, weird stuff happens when those England games, right? Where they travel over and nobody particularly cares, and it's a weird audience that roots for every play and all that. So. It's a probable loss. Vikings are better. It's a probable loss.
All right. They're at the Lions. Forget it. They're home against the Jaguars, who sort of are good now.
They're kind of good. Like, when did that? Like, how did that happen?
I don't know.
Like, who? Nobody. It's like that was one, and that happens every so often. Certainly in football, basketball, college basketball, it happens too. Where like you go to sleep one night and then you wake up and you're like, wait, they're a good team now? Like I didn't know.
Well, it happens in the NFL. I mean, there's a lot of precedent for it happening in the NFL.
Right,
year to year,
right.
These teams that are just awful can suddenly wake up and be like, it's when remember the Rams in 2000,
yes.
Whatever,
oh, yeah.
99,
yeah,
2000.
The Cardinals did that too. You know,
that's
where
right.
You're just like, oh, wow, they're good now. Okay.
So I'm going to say Jaguars is probably lost. Then they're at the Bengals. Probably no. You're saying road wins. Now, at the Chargers on December 3rd, the Chargers are pretty bad, but it's a road game, so let's say no.
Well, but here's the thing. Where will that game be?
Oh, good question.
Because at this point, it could really be anywhere.
They're moving the Chargers to Sao Paulo, Brazil. They're playing their home games in Sao Paulo from now on. They're home against the Packers and Ravens. Forget it, even though the Ravens stink, but the Browns aren't beating the Ravens this year.
Right.
And then they're at the Bears who beat the Steelers.
Suddenly they're good.
Like, suddenly they're maybe good with Mike Glennon. It's hard to tell. And then they're at the Steelers to close the year. That's a 55-point loss. So basically what we're really saying is their best chance to win a football game this year is in the next 2 weeks. It's the Bengals and Jets at home.
I would say that they have, what, five possible wins? And possible for them is a 20% win, so it's 1-15.
Right. So, you know, I mean, look, it would not be the worst thing in the world for this team to go 2-14 or 1-15 and get another first-round pick, because then, you know, theoretically, everybody seems to like the picks that they made last year. Theoretically, they get another one, another top pick this year. Maybe it's maybe they choose one of those quarterbacks out of who knows. But the reason I'm bringing all this up and walking through the Browns' schedule is simply to say, if they win a game, it's going to be in the next 2 weeks.
I think that's right. I think that's right. Yeah. It's also to bring up the fact that if I'm actually going to watch 16 games this year, they're all Browns games, that is torture that no human should really.
That hurts, yeah. When you really lay it out like that, that's painful.
That really painful. Although I did say that for you, I thought we would somehow figure out a way to co-watch the Michigan-Ohio State game, since you are a born and bred Michigan fan, and I grew up as an Ohio State guy, so maybe one college game. I think that would be the one to watch.
I think that's good. I mean, I'd be happy. I would suggest to you that you should probably skip the, like, you know, Browns at Lions. That's not going to go well for you. Why don't you skip Browns at Lions on November 12th and trade the Michigan-Ohio State game?
That's fair. That's fair. That's good. No, that's a good call. That's a good call. So we're good. We got this all worked out. I know that was fascinating for our listeners. all right. You know what? I mean, we're going to save, I think, the baseball talk. We are going to have our next podcast is going to be just as the playoffs begin. So I think we're going to save our playoff talk.
We'll do our year end roundup.
And our predictions.
We'll confirm that. I believe, again, for an unprecedented eighth consecutive year, we predicted everything accurately.
Every game, every team.
We got it exactly right.
We've already got it right. Even the ones that have not clinched yet, we said it would be tougher for them.
That's right. And and the way that it breaks out in these last five games is going to be exactly the way. It's going to end up the way that we predicted it.
It really is 100% the way we predicted it. So we'll do that, and we'll talk about this. So we're going to actually go on to our draft. But before we do that, I think there's some stuff on your mind.
You know, I'm glad you brought this up. There's something I've been wanting to talk about for a long time here on the podcast. And forgive me, because I didn't write this down. This is just sort of off the top of my head. It's just sort of like and I'm not sure it's going to come out perfectly.
Sure.
But because I'm sort of like, it's just a lot of thoughts kind of swirling around. And sure. I hope I can articulate this in a way that sounds, you know, that where I get the information across. Because again, it's a big swirl. It's a big mess. And I'm just going to try to articulate it the best I can.
All you can do is the best you can.
That's right. That's all I can do. I can just try to articulate these random threads and thoughts that I've been having in a way that I can accurately communicate to the audience. So let me just give it a shot here and we'll see.
Sure.
Basically, Joe, I want to take a moment to tell you about The Cut Forecast. Now, The Cut Forecast is the podcast from the staff of MLB.com's Cut 4 section, which focuses on the lighter side of baseball. It'll make you laugh, and you might even learn something about baseball dogs or ballpark food. Last week's episode ranked which New York Mets players looked best wearing a romper, and discuss the popular 90s TV show that's made an unlikely comeback in Major League Baseball clubhouses. Now, if that sounds like something you're into, search Cut Forecast, that's C-U-T, the number 4, C-A-S-T, in Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts, and click subscribe. Anyway, that was just sort of, I hope that made sense. I was sort of improvising a little bit, I got my point across.
Yeah, I do. You know, look, it was a little fuzzy. It wasn't 100% sure where that's to be understood when you're trying to cram that much in without having thought, you know, you didn't really have time to organize.
I didn't plan it. You know, I didn't plan this out. This is me speaking from the heart about something I really believe in. And I hope I communicated well.
I think you did. By the way, I should just throw something out there, because I've now had like 10 different people say this to me, you know, they say, hey, you know, when you're doing the podcast, what you should do is some point in the podcast, you should ask your listeners to give you a 5-star rating on whatever. on like wait, whatever iTunes or something.
You want they want us to beg for ratings?
This is the best part. So I said we're not going to do that. We're not going to beg our people. He's like, well, that's how they you know that'll show how much your show gets, how much publicity or how much promotion or whatever it gets on. Well, we don't care really about any of that. But my favorite thing was, so I was talking to somebody who is a podcasting, you know, he's actually a very successful podcaster, and he was really pushing me. He's like, you got to do this. You got to do this. And I said, well, I don't really think I'm going to do this. And I said, so you just want me to ask for a rating on, you want me to ask like listeners to rate the show? And he's like, no, ask them for a 5-star rating. That's the most important part. Because if you get like low ratings, your right. show goes down. And I'm like, that's the worst thing I've ever, that is like every time I go to like get my car serviced or something like that, they'll be like, hey, you're going to get a, you know, some sort of survey. Give us all 10s if you can. Give us all 10s.
Right.
No, don't tell me what, am I supposed to be filling out this survey? And they're like, well, if we don't get 10s, you know, it hurts us. 9s are no good for what we're doing. And I hate that. So anyway, I just wanted to, you know, get your take on asking, begging, pleading the people who are doing us a huge favor for even listening to this thing for a 5-star rating. That's not the right thing to do, is it?
First of all, if an employer bases any decision they make off of internet rating systems, then we have a much bigger problem.
That is very true.
It's the least scientific and most easily gameable system. Like, it's why Amazon has all these problems with feedback. If a controversial author, again, on either side of the aisle writes a book, the enemies of that author or the opposition party of that author flood the comment section and give it 1 star and they say this book stinks, right? There's no... You don't have to even have read the book to weigh in on the book. And the same would be true of any kind of podcast. If you don't like, it's like you don't get quizzed on the content of the podcast before you can weigh in on how many stars.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Yeah. Thank God. I mean, this is a classic opt-in situation here. If you're listening to this podcast, it's because there's one of two reasons. Number one, you for some reason enjoy listening to Joe and me talk about literally nothing for between an hour and 3.5 hours every week. That's possibility number one, that you just enjoy it, that for some reason you enjoy it. And the only other possibility is you are trapped somewhere in a vehicle or some kind of remote outpost, some remote scientific outpost somewhere in Antarctica, and the only available thing to listen to is this podcast. And if you don't listen to another human voice, you will go mad and kill yourself. Those are the two. Those are our two main groups, I would say, of listeners.
So
the rating system, I didn't know it existed, and I couldn't care less. And if you want to rate the podcast, go nuts. It will literally change nothing positively or negatively about anything.
No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I really was more concerned about the asking for the 5-star thing.
Oh, we're never doing that. We are never asking anyone of anything. Because if you actually listen to this podcast, you've been through quite enough.
You really have. And I would say that is the third possibility. The third possibility is you thought you were downloading S-Town.
And
you're really about halfway through where you're like, I thought this was about like a town in the South. Like,
I would say there's a now you've opened my eyes. There's a fourth possibility, which is you left your computer to get a snack and you have a pet of some kind, an African parrot or a cat or a gerbil or something. And the gerbil scurried across your keyboard and accidentally hit some keystrokes or the mouse or something that accidentally caused it to be downloaded and start playing.
Which I think, by the way, is 1/3 of our listeners.
That's probably a solid 30% of our listeners.
30% of our listeners.
It's people whose ferrets accidentally clicked on the right button.
All right, we're going to do the draft, but we really do have to mention one other thing, which is Javi Baez, won our baseball's funnest, the funnest baseball player tournament.
That's right. Congratulations, Javi Baez.
Congratulations, Javi Baez beat Francisco Lindor in the final. Any sort of surprise thoughts about the way the tournament turned out?
I thought it was a mild upset. It made sense in retrospect because the Cubs won the World Series last year and yes. Right. And he's been in the,
and he's so fun.
And he's fun. I mean, it's like, you can't deny his funness, his essential right. funness. The gif that you put up, in celebration of his winning was the crazy slide where he seems to slide. He slides for like 45 feet. It's like he's on a slip and slide. He's on a slip and slide. And then he pops up, It's hard to even describe. He pops up so smoothly. You said it's like he's moonwalking, and then it's like the slide equivalent of a moonwalk. He pops up and then just thrusts his fists in the air like a flamenco dancer, like finishing an amazing flamenco routine. Right. You could just as easily have put in the gif that we've talked about before of him making that tag in the World Baseball Classic,
the
Puerto Rico Dominican game, which is the most joyous. That to me is the most joyous baseball moment I've ever seen. A close second maybe would be Chris Bryant breaking into an enormous grin while he fields a very tough two-hopper to close out the World Series last year. Cubs team was—that's how fun that Cubs team was. They had both of those guys on their team. But I think it's a mild upset. I would have guessed, frankly, that Bartolo would have won. But I further would have guessed. I think I had Lindor beating Baez when I saw that was the final two. By a tiny mark is razor thin, but it's not. I mean, any of those guys. How do you say no? How do you say this is wrong? I think Lindor, Baez, Bartolo, Stanton, Judge. Like, I think we had the right group of 16 guys, and I'm very happy that Baez won because he's so fun to watch.
He is. I thought it was great. I really did. And you know, if we do this again next year, we'll tinker with it. I mean, we could make it from, you know, where you do a player from each team. That was a big suggestion. And
what we should do, because we got yelled at for not having Salvi Perez and a couple other guys right. in there. What we should do is we should choose 15, and then we should have a play-in game like the NCAA tournament does.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Maybe we could even choose 14 and have two play-in games.
That would be fun. Yeah, we could add some more people. I think that would be fun. Look, I think it was really good. To me, the biggest, I thought it was great, and I think Baez is a fantastic winner, and I loved the way it turned out. I think the only I wouldn't even call it a disappointment, but the one that I wish had gone further was Altuve. I thought Jose Altuve kind of was a little underappreciated as just how much fun he is. I mean, he's just such a joyous player. He lost to Bartolo, and I think Bartolo is obviously, he is fun in his own way. But anyway, I thought it was great. I thought it was a lot of fun. All right, it is time for our draft, and we are drafting autumn things. That's it. That's right. We didn't even discuss even whether they're good autumn things. We're just drafting autumn things, and I think I've got the first pick.
All right.
So with the first pick in the Autumn Things draft of 2017, I'm going to take October baseball. I mean, that's I have to do that. And I don't need to say how great October baseball is, how much fun it is. I love that there's like, especially, you know, we've had this conversation before. I'm not a huge playoff guy. Like, in my mind, I think what the pennant races in September are just as much, if not more fun, than actual playoff games. I loved, and we've kind of taken those away a little bit since 10 teams make it. But that said, I mean, what's better than just, especially those first couple of weeks of October, two incredible baseball games basically every day, all sorts of tension. Short series, so every game matters. You got the one game play-in. We don't get to see one thing we did not get to see a lot when we were younger was that kind of baseball where it was, you know, win or go home. You saw them in game fives or game sevens in the couple of playoff series that they would have each year, but that's it. You didn't see it. And now it's like you have almost like a week's worth or 2 weeks worth of, you know, win or go home type of games. So much fun, and obviously the World Series fun. I don't need to go any deeper. October baseball is my first pick.
Yeah, no, it's the right pick. I would only add, you could have gotten as specific as saying baseball players wearing turtlenecks. Like that's that's the way that I think of October baseball is when there's games in New York or Boston or Washington or wherever, and it's cold, or Chicago, and you get those guys who wear those like thermal turtleneck things. That to me is like, oh, it's happening. It's all happening. You know,
you know what else I like? You know what else I like? I like the it's sort of a 1-2 punch. It's the pitchers like blowing on their hands to keep their hands warm, and the announcer saying, oh, they're allowed to blow on their hands.
Yes, that's, I was about to say, that's the best part. When you get the official word that the umps have gotten together and all talked it over and nodded their heads and agreed. Oh, you, specifically, not just you can blow on your hands, you can go to your mouth. That's the way they put it. Kind of a weird, disgusting term. It's okay. When you can, standing on the mound, if you go to your mouth, if you lick your fingers, that is usually, what is it, a ball, right? In normal baseball rules, it is a ball. They just act crazily. If it's 1-0, you do that. It's 2-0. It's the weirdest, one of the weirdest things about baseball. But in those cold autumn games, in those October games, it's like, it's okay now. You can do that. It's so wonderfully specific to baseball. I love it. It's October baseball is the best thing about anything. Like whatever
the best thing of
the
year.
If October baseball can fit into the category that you're drafting in, you got to take it number one. So yeah, no, that's the right. That's the right call. I'm going to go with the weather. I am a New England guy. I live in Los Angeles. I hate it. It's awful. It's miserable. It's the Truman Show every day. You get to October and you're seeing baseball players in turtlenecks, and you're seeing, if you watch college football, you're seeing like these guys in the, they, you start to see your breath, and the night games are cold, and it's 81 degrees and sunny here, and it makes me want to scream. And the weather of in fall is my favorite weather. It's a lot of people's favorite weather, obviously, but I do not like summer. I don't like hot weather. I don't like the beach. I like autumn. I like the weather in autumn. I like it to be 57 degrees with a slight drizzle. That's my favorite kind of weather, and I miss it terribly. So that is what I always think of. I always think of how can I get, when at this time of year, I always think, how do I get to the East Coast, to the Northeast, or how do I get up north, because I need to feel that. So I'll go with weather number one.
I love it. I love it. We have had that conversation before. It's my favorite weather of the year by far. Nothing's even close to how much I love the crispness in the air of autumn. It's the greatest. By the way, you live in LA. You hate the weather. That's your right. Your son has adopted the local team over a lifetime of Red Sox fanhood that you tried to inflict upon him.
Inflict? Why use inflict?
Well, it's not inflict anymore. It used to be inflict.
It was actually, when I was
his,
kid, yeah.
In his now lifetime, it's not inflict.
No, it's a crazy gift. True. Like that, I'm trying to help him.
Instead, he inflicted upon himself the Dodgers' 30-year drought.
I know.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, this old, I'm not sure this LA thing is working for you.
Well, if I had a choice, believe me, I wouldn't be here, but I just don't have a choice. I have to live in this godforsaken desert.
The good news is, no, there's none. So I'm going to feed off of weather. I don't know if this is a separate category, but I'm going to use it anyway. With my second pick, I'm going to take jackets, kind of jacket sweatery type thing, but jackets in particular. I love wearing a jacket. I love jacket weather. I mean, I don't like just walking out. I just like having a jacket. I like the way it feels. I like everything about the jacket. I like when you're outside and it's a little chilly and you just put the jacket on. It's like, oh, now it's fine. I love jackets. I've got like 10 jackets. I don't need nearly that many. But I've collected them through the years because I love, you know, jean jackets and windbreakers and different kinds of, you know, jackets. I love them. And that's the one time you really, even in the spring, it's not the same wearing a jacket. It's just because it just feels like you're sort of in that middle ground where some days it's too hot, some days it's too cold. But autumn, just jackets. Oh, I love them.
So you're going jackets over sweaters.
Well, I did think about them both being similar. I mean, they're very similar. Are they separate? Do I get both?
I don't think you get both, man. I mean, I think you could have, you blew this, frankly, because what you could have said is layered clothing or something.
Oh, I think you get everything. Right.
But
you're
I think you're blowing this because to me, I'm in fact going to swoop in right now and go sweater. Number two.
You were it. This is like the NFL team, like, whoa, they didn't
yes,
take the
it's
guy.
It's like, hang on, he didn't take it's like if you hadn't taken Andrew Luck first overall, I would right. be there right behind you. I would knock my offensive tackle off the draft board and grab Andrew Luck. I think you've blown it because I think for all of the same reasons you're talking about, I say sweater because sweaters they're like part of your outfit. Yeah. A jacket is like an extraneous thing that it kind of hangs on you differently and you got to take it off and put it back on and it's a little bulky and stuff. But a sweater, you can move inside and keep wearing the sweater. You can go outside. It keeps you warm. Sweaters are way better than jackets. Jackets, you lose a lot more than sweaters because you end up taking them off and putting them on a shelf in the restaurant that you... But sweaters, man, sweaters are where it's at. That's what they don't call it jacket weather, man. They call it sweater weather. That's the term for what happens in September and October. I think you've really botched this. This is going to haunt you and your franchise for generations. This is a massive, massive blunder. You've taken jackets and you could have had both. This is a technicality. You could have just said like overlayered clothing and grabbed both, but you blew it. You took jackets and I swooped in and I took sweaters and I have won this draft already.
Yeah, well, look, I love sweaters. I can't even argue with you. I still prefer, look, if they are separate, which they shouldn't have been, I should have just grabbed them both at the same time. I did kind of try to do that, but I didn't go wholeheartedly after it. But if I had to choose one, if there was only one that I could choose, it would be jackets. I still would pick jackets over sweaters.
Really?
And yeah, well, look, I love sweaters, but your point about sweaters and not losing them, that's all true. If you're in a sweater and you're hot, which does happen, you know, you're hot, oh, that's just a pain in the neck. You take the sweater off and you're all sweaty underneath it and it's not. If I had a choice, and I love them both, so to me this is, you know, Who's the greatest ever? You know, who's is it Peyton Manning? Is it Tom Brady?
It's Tom Brady. It's Tom Brady. That's a bad analogy. That was a bad analogy. It's Tom Brady.
You're just not giving Peyton Manning anything, are you? Nothing.
What's the argument? Let's not do this right now.
Let's not.
Go ahead. You're third pick.
My third pick. So yeah. So okay. That's how it's good. Boy, lots and lots of great stuff on the board. My kids wanted me to do this, so I'm just going to do it. I'm going to take Halloween with my third pick. I do love Halloween. I don't love it as much as my kids do. But now that I have kids that love Halloween, I see it through them. It is pretty great. Everything about it is pretty great. I'm not a huge, I don't particularly dress up or whatever. But it's cool to see the kids dress up. It's cool with the candy. I love the candy. You know, I don't know how much adults should get into it. Like if you see like adults like build, like in our neighborhood, we've got this family that builds like something every year, like some incredibly big, like they'll build like this huge dragon that blows fire somehow, you know, it's just some weird engineering marvel that they do. I don't know. That might be a little over the top, but I'm glad they live in our neighborhood and I love that they do that for us. I think Halloween's a pretty cool holiday, so I'll go with Halloween.
I think it's the right call. I mean, weirdly with this draft, there are a lot of things that are, to me, roughly the same amount of good.
Right.
You know, like there is like the standouts, I think, are off the board. October baseball, the weather, overlayered clothing. I think those are the main ones you're talking about. Now, some people are going to talk about like hot chocolate and stuff like that.
Sure,
and sure. Whatever. I think of hot chocolate more of like some of this stuff I think is more of like a winter thing. Mm-hmm. But I think now we're into this thing. Halloween is the last one that's like an obvious pick to me.
Yeah.
Now we're into this weird zone where there's a lot of like pretty good stuff that all of it is, you know, is worthy. All of it's good. All of it's totally legit. Halloween's the last thing on the board where you're like, yes, you got to take Halloween. So I'm going to take the foliage. Yeah. Now, it's not, it's a little overrated, frankly. Like they're like, if wow. you, I think it is. Now, granted, I grew up in it, right? So I saw it every year and I love it and it's beautiful and it really like, it's very evocative. It feels like special. When you're older, it makes you contemplate time passing and it contemplate death. And there's a lot of great poems and stuff about it's used as like a metaphor for life cycles and stuff like that and the natural order of things. But just in general, I think it's really beautiful. If you take one of those drives through upstate New York or through Massachusetts or New Hampshire or whatever at exactly the right time, you see things in nature that you just can't believe. You can't believe like this has been happening. This is just always here. Every October, this happens to these trees. It's so crazy. And it's yet another thing about the godforsaken city that I live in that I can't stand is you don't get that. You don't get to see those crazy, bright, burning reds, oranges, and yellows and all that stuff. And it bums me out because I do feel like there's like 2 weeks or 3 weeks every October where you just cannot believe how beautiful nature is naturally. So I'll go foliage. It's not overrated. It's overhyped, I think. People like hype it too much, but I do think it's wonderful. So I'll go with the foliage number three.
Well, I need a ruling on this. by going with the foliage, you're going specifically with the colors. You're not going with the leaves themselves, the dead leaves, the pile of leaves. You're not going with that.
Want to take like leaf piles?
Well, I might. I'm not saying that I'm going to. I'm just asking if it's still on the board. You know, I mean, I feel like, you know, when I tried to steal sweaters and jackets at the same pick, I kind of got.
Listen, man, here's what I'll say. What I wrote down was foliage/leaves. You make your pick. If I can test it, we'll go to Goodell and he'll weigh in. I know he has other things on his mind right now because his league is in turmoil. But he always gets back to us in a timely fashion. He waits on these rulings. And, you know, and we'll see what happens. So I wrote what I'm officially choosing is foliage/leaves. That's what I wrote.
Foliage/leaves. Well, all right. Well, you know, we'll see. We might test that. And by the way, there's no question that the podcast is the number one priority for Roger Goodell, right? I mean, it's like I realize he's got the league to run and all that. But this is where his mind is right here.
I think so. I mean, I think he's like right now he's probably on the phone with like Jerry Jones and one of the Maras. And they're talking over like strategies, media strategies for how to handle the ongoing protests of racial inequality that are happening during their opening ceremonies. But I think once word gets to him that we need him to weigh in on a podcast issue, I think he'll put all that. He'll say, guys, give me a second. I got to handle this. This is important. And he'll weigh in on what we need him to weigh in on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. With the fourth pick in the draft. And here's the thing. I mean, I think if I was in a different place in my life, there's no question I already would have taken some. Well, probably not. But with this pick, I would take college football or football in general as a thing. I don't feel that honestly I can do that because I'm just not, that's not where my head is. So instead, with my fourth pick, I'm going to go with the fact that all the shows on television come back this time of year. And I'm not a huge television watcher, as I think I've spoken about. But there's like, it all feels a little bit dead in the summer. Not as much as it used to, because I guess there are various shows that are just summer shows now. But generally speaking, like there's just much more people are talking about like shows and new things and getting excited about stuff. And Twitter kind of buzzes a little bit with the new shows and everybody's excited about it and, you know, and whatever. I like that. I like that. I, you know, it used to be much, much worse when the summers were nothing but reruns and it just felt like, you know, there was nothing ever happened in the summer and summer movies were all kind of busts and you were waiting for the autumn to sort of get things rolling. So I'm going to just go ahead and go with that, sort of the entertainment starting over again on television in autumn.
I like it. I mean, it's a good, it's generally speaking a pretty good time for entertainment because all the TV shows come back and also movies start to get good.
Yes,
like
that's
the
true.
Studios hold all their like Oscar-y movies for the fall and winter. It's really, technically it's more of a winter thing probably. Maybe not. I guess if you say that fall is between like September 21st and December 21st, then
right,
most of them
right.
get released. Yeah. No, it's a good time. And it does feel like, you know, it's like the routine starts, right? The kids go back to school and you stay in and you watch TV shows together. So, you know, that's good. I mean, obviously for me, it's good because my entire livelihood and future depend on people like you watching the shows that I make.
Which I am watching, by the way, and loved it. Loved the premiere, but now, if I'm not mistaken, The Good Place, doesn't it switch days?
It switches days, yeah. So The Good Place premiered with an hour long premiere last week. You can now watch it on Hulu if you want to catch up. And then now this week it goes to its normal time slot, which is Thursday at 8:30, and it's on Thursday at 8:30 for the rest of the run.
But so, you would recommend people, once again, you would recommend people keep up because this is a chapter-by-chapter show.
It's a chapter-by-chapter show. It's a continuous story starting with the very first episode from last year. So, yeah, if you haven't watched it again, I would highly recommend you go back to the beginning, which is it's on Netflix. Season one's on Netflix. So you can go on Netflix. You can watch the whole first season in about 4.5 hours, and then you can catch up in with season two, which is on airs this episode two, which is really episode three, but the second installment airs on Thursday tomorrow.
Which does lead to a question. I know we don't normally talk about your work on the show. I know this is you know, more of an escape from that. But I was watching it with the girls, which we of course loved it. But we were all sort of admiring you trying to stick like all of last season in like a 1 minute.
Generally speaking, I'm opposed to previously ons because I feel like, first of all, you have barely enough time to tell a story as it is. It's 21 minutes and 30 seconds on a network, and that's not a lot of time, and it eats up a lot of time. The second thing with this show is there's so much stuff that you have to put into a previously on that it's almost like you just might as well go back and watch the whole episode. But because we were premiering after America's Got Talent and we knew there was going to be a big audience and we thought people might have forgotten a bunch of stuff that was important, we did a sort of, I think it's actually 2 minutes long. We did a sort of 2 minute long, season long recap at the very beginning, that tried to explain everything that happened.
That probably was hard to do. Actually,
it was, It took a long time to try to make that happen. Anyway. So I highly recommend if you're going to watch the show, you should watch it from the beginning. Otherwise you'll be horribly lost. I'm horribly lost and I make it. So, all right. So,
it's up to you.
Fourth pick. I feel the same way about college football. Ordinarily in years past, college football would have been easily, it would probably been a number two pick.
Sure.
But because of the sort of fallen out of love with the game, I'm actually going to go the other way, and I'm going to say that it's the start of the NBA season that has me excited.
Oh, nice.
Now, the NBA, it starts on the 17th, I think. I think we got a Warriors-Cavs situation, I think, to kick off the year. But the NBA offseason was so insane and fun. And by the way, remains insane and fun up until literally right now. Like we're 3 weeks out from the start of the season and crazy things are happening. Carmelo Anthony is getting traded to the Thunder. And, you know, the LeBron James called Donald Trump a bum. I mean, it's never been more exciting. There's never been a more exciting offseason in any sport than this year's NBA offseason. And I now, because I just have been like, my love of the NBA has been jump started, and I'm very excited for this season. I feel like it's going, there's like six super teams and everybody else stinks, but I'm gonna buy that NBA league pass thing, whatever that thing is. I've never bought it before, but I'm gonna buy it because if the Thunder are playing the Rockets on a Monday or something, I want to watch that game. I gotta watch that game.
Yeah.
Like it's basically, there's like six or seven teams where when they play each other, it's an all-star game. Like the entire all-star rosters are basically on six teams. So I'm very, this is very, it's very, very exciting to me, the NBA start, the start of the NBA season. And I feel like there's some, I'm going to call it as the NBA because I think that's the only fair way to go. And I don't want Goodell to come down on me with an iron fist. But I, really what it is it's those, it's that melange of October craziness where the NBA games are happening and there's pro and college football and October baseball, and like hockey is also in the mix there somewhere. You know, like it, there are these days in the fall where it feels like you are just lying, you're floating in like a sensory deprivation tank of like of water, that's salt water that's heated to your exact body temperature, and you're just watching sports are just being like pumped into your veins. And that's a thing that you can kind of only get on those specific like late October days when you just can't believe how many things there are that you want to watch.
It's so true. It is so true. By the way, don't you think the NBA, when the NBA season kicks off, they need like a Good Place 2-minute montage to tell people what happened?
Oh my God. They need like a full Game of Thrones episode.
You're going to be watching like, wait, Chris Paul is what? Who? Where? Carmelo? And I mean, everybody switched teams except the Warriors, by the way, who stayed exactly the same dominant team that they've always been.
Everybody's got 8 more All-Stars to try to compete with the Warriors, and the Warriors are still like a 1-10 favorite to win the championship.
It's amazing. It is amazing. So yeah, I am really actually very, very fired up about the NBA season. Not as fired up about college basketball now that all of them will be in jail. So that is making little. By the way, I don't want to get into that whole crazy thing, but you know, something did strike me, and that was that for years and years and years, every time college basketball would have a scandal of some kind, it was always very tepid. It was always like, oh, you know, he got like 3 new shoes and they flew him to his grandmother's funeral, right? I mean, they were always, and you'd be like, oh, that guy's a cheater. He made too many phone calls to recruits. And it was always so lame. And you'd be like, this is lame. And the FBI came in and said, how about $150,000 payments to players? How about that? Like, oh, yeah, that's like a real
now
scandal.
We're talking. Yeah.
Yeah, now we're actually good. Thank you for, because you always felt like that there was some significant, I wouldn't even call it cheating, just significant like displacement of money to players who obviously should get paid a huge amount of money because of their talents.
That's right.
But you always knew they were happening behind the scenes. You'd hear these like great stories. Like I remember hearing a story about one coach who would like go to players and he'd have a book and he would bring this book out and it was just different luxury cars that the guy could have if he came to their program. And I was like, man, look, you always hear these stories, but you never have them confirmed. And then the FBI came in and said, oh, no, they're true.
That's happening. True. Yeah. I mean, the NCAA is a whole other, that's a whole other podcast we'll do someday. Yeah. It's such an insane situation. And it used to drive me crazy and still does drive me crazy when it's like, look, we're sanctioning the University of Southwest Missouri State because the coach bought a guy a cheese sandwich.
Right,
and
exactly.
The cheese sandwich cost $4.80. And that's an obvious violation of NCAA code section 327418-6. And you are, you were fining the school $250,000 and you can't give any scholarships away for the next 10 years. And the coach has to be fired and the assistant coach has to be fired. And they have to sit in a dark cell at the top of a mountain and think about what they did for the next 4 years. And it's so nuts. And their desperate attempt to control something that cannot be controlled and probably shouldn't be controlled, which is how athletes get paid money for their services, has led to this insane thing. And now it's been completely out of control for decades. And then this comes along. And you're like, well, they were wiring money. They had a giant slush fund of money and they were wiring money to these guys. And it's like, of course, it's like, it's sad. It makes you very sad. The people involved are in trouble. Bad things are going to happen to these programs, to these people, to a lot of people who probably didn't deserve these bad things to happen to them. Some people who did deserve these bad things to happen to them, all that stuff. But at some level, all you can say is like, well, of course, of course, it's a multi-billion-dollar product. And the people who like provide that product can't get paid any of that money. What do you think is going to happen? The money is going to leak through to them somehow. And if you're those people, how are you not, of course, thinking, yeah, why? Of course I'm going to take 50 grand or 100 grand or whatever to do this, because this isn't fair. This is fundamentally not fair. An entire industry, a massive television contract, all of these things are built on our backs and we are making no money from it. Of course that was always going to happen. I'm only surprised something like this hasn't happened before now publicly.
That's right. No, that's right. Well, Dan Wetzel said it, wrote it very, very well. And he basically said, you know, when you have this much money, it's like floodwater. It's going to go where it's going to go.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's and you know, the fact that some of the players, I mean, these players, that's, you know, that's what they are on the open market. I mean, even I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. But I think the bottom line is, I think this will fundamentally change college basketball. And maybe it's long overdue, and maybe it'll change it for the better. But this thing is, you know, it's pretty nasty. All right.
We said we weren't going to talk about it, and then we talked about it for like 30 minutes.
I know, because that's who we are. That's who we are. Give us 5-star rating, will you? Can you give us
five-star rating? We should have mentioned that earlier. Please, everyone go to the Apple Podcast Rating Center. Is what it's called. It's the rating center. Find the podcast with Joe and Mike and give us 5 stars.
It would really help
us. It would really be a big boon to us. We would really appreciate it if you would give us those 5 stars.
That's all we need. All right. You know what? I'm going to do it. With my 5th pick, I'm going to take Leaves, and I'm going to see what Goodell's going to have to say about it. Obviously, Leaves not as much fun when you're an adult and you actually have to rake the leaves and all that. But I got to say, there's something I kind of, maybe I'm just crazy, I kind of like it. There's something peaceful about it. I like, maybe it's, you know, growing up in Cleveland, just, I just can, when I think of my childhood, I think of these leaves blowing across the road and stepping on them, and the little crunching sound and of course the pile of leaves and jumping into the pile of leaves, which is just awesome. I like it. It's like nature's toys, you know? I mean, it's fun, and I love leaves. I love the dead leaves. Obviously, it would not be fun if it was stretched out over the whole year, but you know, for like a 1-month period where you have that, I think that's really cool. So my 5th pick is going to be leaves.
Well, I just got a FedEx envelope in the mail from the league office. It's from Goodell. He weighed in very quickly. Okay. He apparently was listening in real time. Yeah, he was listening
in
real time.
He
came to his ruling. He's fired it off.
Let's hear it.
Here it is. It says, you know, it has a bunch of the date and time, location, NFL/podcast league office, headquarters, New York, blah, 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 blah. Let me just skip to the end here. It says, understand that in the third round, Mike took Foliage/Leaves, blah, 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 blah. Joe, in the 5th round, decided he would also take Leaves. I had come to understand, and the NFL/podcast legal office concurs that the selection of Leaves in the 5th round by Joe Posnanski does not, it's underlined in bold, it does not conflict with Mike's 3rd round pick for Foliage/Leaves. And we find no further action necessary at this time.
That's
great. And then there's one more paragraph. It says, however, we have done a full audit of all of the podcasts in history and have found 2,216 other violations, leading to fines totaling $1,448,000 for Mr. Posnanski and $1,528,000 for Mr. Shore. Those fines are non-negotiable and non-appealable, payable to league office by the end of the close of business Friday.
Okay.
So it doesn't detail what those fines are. I guess we'll never know. He does have that right. He can just fine us.
You gotta trust him. Yeah. It's exactly right. Hey, at least he didn't like suspend us from any more future podcasts.
That's true. He did not. Oh wait, hold on. There's a PS here. It says at the bottom. PS, I am also suspending you from any future podcasts for the next 4 months, and you will be on probation for 2 years after that. Should the league office /podcast league office find any further violations, you will then be terminated permanently from the podcast. So,
That's a bad break for us.
So I guess after this, we'll see you in February.
I guess so. I guess that's it. We'll each be $1.5 million poorer.
That's right.
Well.
Yeah, I'm gonna need to work extra hard on the TV shows that I work for to pay off that fine. But again, we did give him that right in the collective bargaining that we gave Goodell the right to be judge, jury, and executioner for all matters related to penalties in the podcast.
That's right. And if you remember, we once did a try in the thing. We did try to get an appeal in there, and he gave us an appeal.
That's right.
But it was only appeal to him.
He appealed
it was
to
a
himself.
Direct appeal to him. Yeah.
Amazingly, he came to the same conclusion. Yeah. All right, but the good news is you are allowed to take leave. So the congratulations.
That is good. That is good news.
I'm going to choose a crazy for my fifth and final pick. I'm going to choose a crazy one that you're going to think is insane. I think.
Okay.
I'm going to pick darkness, specifically the end of daylight savings time. I love when the days get shorter, and it's a pain in the butt. I shouldn't still love it because when you have kids, as you well know, it's a pain in the butt. Like my son is out in our backyard playing baseball or basketball pretty much all the time. Right. And suddenly it starts getting dark at like 4:45 and he can't do that anymore. And then he's just in the house moping around, trying to like, find something to do. It's not good. Like I shouldn't like it as much as I do, but I love the feeling of looking outside at like 5 o'clock and it getting dark. I don't know why. I think again, it's the New England in me. It feels like, you know, we're like coming to the end of something. We're coming to the end of the year and it feels exciting. It feels like cozy and warm. I like the feeling of like, of bundling up and in my sweater, not in my jacket, in my sweater that is keeping me warm and also is a fully integrated part of my wardrobe, that I don't have to worry about leaving anywhere. I just like it. I like that. I like that daylight savings ends and suddenly it's getting dark really early. There's something very kind of cool and sort of like mystical about it. And so that's my fifth pick, darkness / the end of daylight savings.
You know what? I should be all over you, but I kind of agree with you. There are two parts I agree on. One is, first of all, and I know you didn't make this specific point, the night of daylight savings is like one of my favorite nights of the year. Like getting that extra hour of sleep, like just that, just having that night stretched out like that, I just so love that night. I just love it. I don't know why I love it that much, just an hour. But I love that night. I love that feeling of waking up the next morning going, oh God, it's 9 o'clock. No, it's 8 o'clock. You know, like,
it's a very simple joy, but it's a real joy.
It's a real joy. And then the second thing is I really do like the night thing. And I mean, this is the sort of magic of nature. I'm ready for the days to stretch out when they stretch out, and I'm ready for them to shorten when they shorten. You know what I mean? It's like you wouldn't have that great feeling of like April and May when the days start stretching out unless you'd had like 5 months of darkness. Like that's all integrated together. I love it. Yeah, I'm all with you on darkness, actually.
All right. There we go.
There we go. Another winning draft. So, all right, let's do one last meaningless thing to end this meaningless thing.
It's one last meaningless thing to end this meaningless thing. We talk about sports and we draft things we know, like how beaches are terrible places to go. No hot fruit for Michael, nor Diet Coke for Joe. It's one last whoa, meaningless thing.
And why did you go first?
I have a mine is a question.
That's funny, mine is too.
Oh, interesting.
That's funny you should say that. Okay, go ahead.
My question is, you pour yourself a glass of water, let's say for lunch.
Okay.
You drink, you eat your lunch and you drink half of the water and you leave your glass on the table.
Okay.
How long will you have allowed that glass of half glass of water to sit on the table where you will still drink it later on that day? How many hours can have gone by before you say like, no, it's I got to throw this out.
That's a great question. Now we're assuming that there was ice in the glass.
Yes, but I'm saying by the time you come back, it's room temperature.
Right. Like, but yeah. I'm saying early on there was ice.
Early on, sure. If you want there to be ice, yes, sure.
I would say, all right, so let's say I leave the table at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
I'd say any time before 4 o'clock, I'm drinking that water.
You're saying 3 hours.
I'm thinking 3 hours would be, you know, and maybe it would be touchy at the end of those 3 hours, but I think 3 hours, I'm still drinking that water.
It's interesting. That's probably about the right answer. But
what do you have?
Well, over the weekend on Saturday, I had made myself lunch and then I left the house with my son, and my wife and daughter were elsewhere, and we left at like, I think we left around one, and no one else was in the house, so there was no like danger of anyone else contaminating the water. We came back at like 6 or 6:30 then. And I was thirsty, and I walked in and I saw it, and instinctively I just drank some of the water.
Wow.
And then immediately I was like, oh, that's weird. Like stuff has like settled into the water and it's just been sitting there. But then I was like, well, maybe that's fine. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a mold grew on the water.
No,
or something.
No. The water is going to be perfectly
healthy. It's
going to
be fine. But then I was like, well, if I hadn't left, how many hours would have gone by before I would have just tossed it into a plant or something? And I don't quite know the answer. 3 hours kind of sounds like a good guideline.
Yeah, I think 5.5 hours. I'm going to say I'm not drinking.
You're just going to toss it and get more water. I mean, it's not like water. Yeah.
Right, it's not that hard to get. We're fortunate that it's not that hard for us to get water. So, I think 3 hours. That's a good question, though. It's a good question.
I'm very I've become extremely, because I live in a godforsaken desert. I've become extremely concerned with water use, and it's a thing everybody out here deals with. Some people don't care, but those people are bad people. And so I've become extremely careful about water use. I put artificial turf in my backyard, and I have reduced all the other stuff, watering in my house. And it's been very exciting and fun, because I've cut my water usage by 50% in the last year.
Wow.
In the last 2 years, I've cut it 50%, which is great. But so I now have this thing where I don't just toss any water into my sink. I take every glass of water, every like bit of water that's lying around, I collect, and then I go outside and I use it to water my plants and stuff in the backyard. So it is one step more. That was part of the problem, is it was one step more delayed to get new water, because I don't want to pour any new water before I get rid of the old water. So that's why I was really thirsty. So I just grabbed it and drank it without even thinking.
Well, that might add another hour to it. If you have to have, if the only way you can get new water is to go outside and pour the water in and then come back in and get new water, you know, and you're thirsty, you know, I don't know. In an emergency,
you're not going to criticize
criticize your decision there. Yeah. I'm going to say you're on the edge, but I'm going to say it's okay.
All right, good. What's your question?
All right, my one last meaningless thing question. All right, so every car. So I was the other day. I rented a car. So I thought about this. I always think about this when I rent a car. Every car, as far as I know, has the incredibly fun little gas gauge illustration right inside the dashboard to tell you which side the gas tank is on. Right. So you have like that little cartoon of like whatever of a gas can or gas tank or whatever. And then there's like a little triangle that's like an arrow pointing to which side of the car the gas tank is on.
Wait, you're telling me every car has this?
I'm pretty sure every car has this.
I've never heard of this before. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You have it in your car.
I
can tell you right now. Yes. Go when you have a moment, go outside and look in your car. And look on the gas thing. You will have a little tiny illustration.
Wait, on the dashboard?
It'll be in the gas gauge. It'll be right there by the gas gauge. I mean, they have them in different places in different cars, but it'll be there in the gas gauge. You'll look. There'll be the full. There'll be the empty, and then there'll be this little tiny like illustration of a gas tank with a little arrow showing you which side of the car it's on. That way, you know which side to pull into when you're going to a gas station, and which is great. I love it. I love that they do that. I love that they're thoughtful enough to do this. It's obviously, it matters if you're renting a car, because you don't tend to know. You with your own car, you don't even think about it, which is probably why you don't even know. So, but here's my question. So I get this rental car the other day, and I looked for the little thing. I don't even know why I was looking for it, but the car was full, okay? So it was full of gas, and I was looking at the gas gauge, and I'm like, huh, the gas gauge doesn't have one. This gas gauge doesn't have that little illustration of the gas tank, which I just thought was kind of quirky and weird, because they almost always do. And then I drove a little bit, and the gas gauge went down, and I realized that the arrow thing in the gas gauge that was pointing to full was blocking the illustration. It was just over the top of the illustration, so you couldn't see it because the gas thing was full. And, you know, once it started getting to, like, you know, three quarters, the thing became clear, and oh, there it is, and I saw the illustration. So here's my question for you, which, you know, this is what it comes down to.
This is the longest ever wind-up to a...
I know, and it's so stupid. It's not going to be worth it at the end, but I'm still going to ask you the question. Is that a flaw in the car design that you cannot see the gas gauge, you cannot see the little gas tank illustration when it's being blocked, or is it a feature because if the car is full anyway, you have no need to see that illustration?
Okay, first of all, it's very clearly the latter. That's the answer. That's point number one. And point number two is all of this is utterly meaningless because what's the worst that can happen if you can't get a reading on where it is you pull into the gas station, you get out, and if you guessed wrong, it's a coin flip. And if you guessed wrong, you turn around and turn the car around, and it takes 31 seconds.
But that's 31 seconds of your life that you can have back by just looking at that little illustration.
But it's 31 seconds of your life that you'll never lose if, while you're getting into the car for the first time, you glance back at the back of the car and go, oh, it's on this side.
Nobody does that. Nobody does that. Do you do that?
I think I do. When it's a rental car, I think when I'm getting in, I glance over as I'm getting in the car, and if I can see it, you don't even slow down. It's just you look down at the end and you see, okay, if it's not on this side, that means it's on the other side. There's only two options. So that when I fill it up at the end of the day,
Wait a minute. You're telling me you have the wherewithal to look at the car to make sure which side the gas tank is on, just sort of as a glance, but you had no idea that they had these little illustrations inside the car?
No, because I look at the outside of the car, so I've never needed the computer inside the car to tell me something that's very plainly visible. And by the way, my dad has a rule of his life that he lives by, which is it's basically amounts to don't sweat the small stuff. And the rule is basically like, if you want, like, when I was in college, I had no money, and like, you know, a new album would come out by some band I liked, and he would say, just buy it. Like, you're a responsible person. You're not like overextending yourself. It's $12. Like, hopefully you're going to live for another 80 years. That means it's like $1 a year for what am I saying? It's like, it's, you know,
$1 a decade
for the next, you know, whatever. So, and one of the things he does, one of the little life hacks that he does in this regard is, when he rents a car and he drives it back to the airport, he just drives it to the airport. He doesn't fill it up with gas before he goes back. Because you're going to the airport, you know you're in for some kind of travel hassle. And it's like, you know, they charge you X dollars per gallon more than it costs when you fill it up at a gas station. And his point is like, what is that total going to be? Is it going to be $15 or $13 or $8? The joy of not having to like drive, stop somewhere, get back into traffic, get through traffic, get to the air, just drive it back and drop it off. And they go, well, you used, you know, 13 gallons of gas and we're going to have to charge you $57 and it would have cost me $41. Who cares? Just do it. And you'll be so happy that you didn't have to stop and pump gas while you're heading to your airport to try to make your flight. And so now I have also adopted that. I never fill up the tank unless it's incredibly convenient. I never fill up the tank with gas because usually I've used like a ninth of a tank of gas and I just drive it back to the thing and I drop it off. So this doesn't even come into play is what I'm saying.
Well, but my point is I actually do the same thing. I actually always, one, I forget, and two, I just don't do it. None of this has to do with how joyful those little illustrations are in the car. I just think they're super duper thoughtful. I just am a fan of those. I don't even need them. I just like them.
All right.
There you go. That's as meaningless as it gets right there.
I think, but, you know, when your meaningless thing was the thing about how we need a better system for cereal boxes, I declare that was the greatest meaningless thing that either of us has ever come up with. And there isn't a close second. That was a life-changing meaningless thing. I think now, today, we have another milestone, which is the most meaningless thing.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. But here's the thing I will say about that. There were a couple of them that we made a little too meaningful, and like we actually discussed like a serious topic, And that's the worst we can do. Like, that's that score is worse than the most meaningless.
It's unforgivable. It's unforgivable. It's an unforgivable sin that we...
If you had come in and said, you know, I agree with Kaepernick, that would have been the worst. Oh, man. The worst that, meaningless
that,
thing.
That would be a straight-up betrayal of our audience.
Which wouldn't give us 5 stars then if they did that. No. So
again, please, if you're out there listening to this, please, we're begging you, give us 5 stars. Please.
Michael, as always, thank you.
Joe, thanks for having me.